G-57. Drive-in, Birchwood, Colorado. William Godfrey's disappearance was hugely troubling in an empathetic and human sense, raising as many immediate questions as it did. But as Henry McCarthy looked around at New Care Grillin's increasingly agitated customers, the ICA chairman's well-being was far from his sole concern. Rather, his mind was primarily fixated on the question of just what kind of issue or incident could have persuaded the messengers to take him, as they had, at such a highly public moment. Billions of people had seen the flash live, and billions more would see the replays within a few hours, and Henry McCarthy could only hope and pray that a nerve-settling explanation from the messengers themselves would follow before much longer. "It's going to be a long night if it doesn't," he thought to himself. "Do you want to get out of here?" Mr. Bird asked, appearing at Henry's side, having weaved his way through the crowd. Very few had fled the bar in fear, with the majority seemingly and wisely understanding they were in no danger of, well, anything, and the initial post-flash hubbub had died down somewhat. Every pair of eyeballs were now watching in rapt attention as a room full of the world's most powerful politicians was rapidly evacuated. Images of some national leaders running away from the flash like mice from a cat was hardly going to do anything to calm their citizens' minds, Henry lamented, but he was at least glad to see President Slater, no favorite of his, although he tried to remain impartial, conducting herself in a more responsible manner. "Henry, do you want to go home?" Mr. Bird repeated. "There's a chance Godfrey might be, you know." It took Henry a few seconds to get the meaning of the head gestures Mr. Bird was performing towards the bar's exit, but it eventually clicked. It took no further time for him to conclude that his old friend might well be right. Leisha could have just taken Godfrey to Birchwood, and he could now be standing in Dan's living room next to him and Tara for whatever mysterious reason had necessitated the flash and abduction in the first place. Henry winked and nodded, but then hesitated.
"Maybe we should wait for Phil.
He's with Chip," Mr. Bird replied. "There are enough staff here to watch the main bar area, so unless you want to bring him in on everything." Henry responded by maneuvering his chair away from the edge of the table.
"We're not bringing anyone else in on anything," he replied. "And nothing against Chip or Diamond, but especially a hustler like him."
Mr. Bird led the way to the door. A few patrons turned and raised a hand to Henry as he went, most of their faces a hard-to-read mix of confusion and perhaps mild fear, but none spoke and most remained entranced by the live footage coming in from Buenos Aires.
"There's going to be a lot of media out there," Henry said as Mr. Bird prepared to open the bar's front door. "I mean, there was a lot when we arrived, like any other day when something is happening, but they're going to be frenetic now and desperate for a comment. Give them absolutely nothing, not even a no comment, and not even a millisecond of eye contact."
"Understood," Mr. Bird said. Both men had been around the drive-in on enough big days to have known what to expect, but no amount of experience could have truly prepared them for the chaotic din that greeted Mr. Bird's opening of the door. The uproar was almost deafening before the crowd saw that it was them or even noticed the door opening. But when Mr. Bird stepped out and Henry followed close behind, an instant rush forward occurred. The attendant police were caught off guard at first, but quickly and admirably regained control of the situation. Force was threatened across the cordon and mildly distributed to those reporters who pushed their luck too far, and Henry and Mr. Bird wasted no time in hurrying towards the latter's car. Mr. Bird helped Henry in, then took a deep breath before putting his foot down to navigate the narrow vehicular exit corridor the police had protected with heavy metal railings at the start of the day. Reporters and photographers lunged forward like they were monkeys trying to pick fleas from the roof of the car, and the breath Mr. Bird took when they escaped the lot in one piece was even deeper than his last.
"We made it," Henry said. "Good job."
Mr. Bird nodded and looked briefly in the rearview mirror at the chaos they were leaving behind.
"And now we'll see what's waiting for us."